Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to be keeping a senior class up here this morning, and we want to dismiss our children to Sunday school at this time. Can I just say, please come tonight, please?
Yes.
We need the whole church.
Yes.
In order to be the whole church.
Amen.
Let me say that we'll never have divided services. Never.
Amen.
You know where, you know, A to M comes in a first service, and then M to, what's the last letter, Z, comes to, you know. Because what it does is it divides up the body of Christ. You know, and what I think would happen is there are some people who would just come to both services, you know, because they want to be in the house of God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
So if you would, if you'd turn to Psalms chapter 20, starting in verse number 5, David says, "We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up our banner. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed." That's us folks.
Amen.
"He will hear from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call."
Amen.
And then if you go to Psalms 33, verse number 16, "There is no king save by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength." Well, God is saying, you know what? You're not going to be delivered by your strength. You're not going to be delivered by something that you ride on or something that you can conjure up. "Behold, the eyes of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee." And then if you turn to Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, verse number 7. "And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests of the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. One more scripture, 1 Chronicles, chapter 28. Verse 20. "And David said to Solomon, his son, Be strong and of good courage and do it." That's where Nike got their slogan, just do it. "Fear not, nor be dismayed, For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. That's written to me. That's written to you. He's not going to fail you. He's going to be with you until it's finished. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word of God this morning, Lord, that it would go forth with all of the liberty that it was written with all of the anointing that it was written with. God, that we could take it to our heart, Lord, and understand that you're always with us. We'll never be alone. We'll be strong. We'll be of good courage because you haven't finished the work yet. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I remember a day back in early 1976 that I applied for an American Express card. It was the only credit card that you could carry that never had a balance. At the end of the month, they insisted that you pay the full amount. Therefore, you were never charged any interest. And I like that. I still use the card. And on the front of the card, it says, member since 1976. Every renewal I get, it has that number on it. Member since 1976. And there is no limit on this card. I could go buy a car and hand them this car, and they would take it, and American Express would never put a limit on it. I could have a lot of liberty with this card, go wherever I want. Whenever I leave home, I always take this card and my wife. Those are the two things that are necessary. Would you like this card? Well, it doesn't have your name on it. See, it's worthless unless your name is on the card. Everybody wants limitless freedom to be able to buy and go and do whatever they want. Hallelujah. Some years ago, American Express came out with this slogan, "Don't leave home without it." You know? And I believe that's good. You know, you need to have some safety. They may not know me, as they advertised years ago, but they know my name is on the card, you know? Hallelujah. Now, a year after I got my American Express, I got another members-only card after I was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Membership has its privileges. There's no limit on this membership with God. You could have everything that is in the book. You know what? The world may not know me, but my God knows me because my name is written down. And every day, my membership is renewed by lifting my hands and blessing my God. Hallelujah. I have privileges like no one else in the world has privileges. Hallelujah. Protection worldwide. Health care without signing up. Amen. Rewards points. You can't believe it. Frequent flyer miles. And a first class trip. First class to heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. The rewards aren't just here. But they will follow me according to Revelation. Hallelujah. And American Express stole God's slogan, "Don't leave home without him." Hallelujah. Don't leave this service without God. If you need the Holy Ghost this morning, don't leave this place without the Holy Ghost. If you need to be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of sins, don't leave this place without being baptized. Because you don't know where you're going to be tomorrow. Did you know that most accidents happen within 25 miles of your home? That's why I try to drive further than 25 miles, so I'm safer. There's a reason to take God with you, even on the little trips. You know, we're on our face and we're weeping and we're asking God, God, take care of this. The doctors don't know what it is. But what about the little things? As more people fail God with the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little statements from somebody that annoys us, you know. Nobody can offend me unless I give them permission. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We need to involve God in our purchases. Not just the house, not just the car, but the little purchases as well. Hallelujah. Or our relationships with other people. Is this okay? Is this all right? Should I be spending time? Never, never leave home without God. And consult with him frequently while you are gone. Have you seen the rewards catalog that he put up? Hallelujah. You know, I get these catalogs from American Express and Visa. You know, if I spend so much money, I can buy a blender or something, you know. But you ought to thumb through the rewards catalog for being faithful for a year or 10 years or 40 years. There is rewards for frequent conversations with Jesus. Would you take your Bible and turn to Psalms 60? Psalms chapter 60 and verse number 9 says, "Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, which hadst cast us off, and thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man," or meaningless. "Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies." So if you're going to go out and do war, if you're going to enter into some kind of skirmish, some kind of battle, you better have God with you. Because vain or meaningless is our strength, our abilities, our intellect. Hallelujah. The longer I live for God, the more I realize how inadequate I am to make a real difference in this world, and a greater dependence upon the presence of God in everything that I do. God, if you're not going to go with me, I'm not going. I got to see the cloud move. I got to see the pillar of fire move before I go. Psalms 127 and 1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they that labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." I don't care how well informed we get, how much scripture we understand. You know, yesterday I opened with prayer for our quizzers, and I asked anybody who could quote Hezekiah chapter 2, verse number 4, and they're all staring until I finally said, there is no Hezekiah chapter 2, verse number 4, but some of us do know scriptures very, very well because of use. But, you know, it doesn't matter if we're well-informed or how well-organized we are or how much effort or talent that we have. We need God with us all of the time. If God isn't with us, we're not going to do much. Oh, we're putting all kinds of effort into this and we're doing all of that. Well, I'll tell you what, it's not going to work unless God is with us. Not better buildings, not better fellowship, not better programs, just more of God, more of God, more of God in our life. Hallelujah. Amen. I've heard preachers say that they've been asked to preach at the last minute and they have to make a decision. Do I quickly read through my Bible and find something that I can preach, or do I just get on my hands and knees and ask God for an anointing? And you need the anointing more than you need the knowledge, folks. Amen. Psalm 20 and 7 it said, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. David was saying to God, now I know I can do all of this, but God, I've learned one thing. I've done it before, and you know what? I preached a message before, and I could probably preach another message without your help, and probably some people wouldn't even notice. But he's saying, you know, I learned one thing. What I have and what I can do is no guarantee that when I go out to war that I'm going to win the battle, except you're going to be with me. David was saying, I should have won this battle, except for the fact that when I got there, I realized I left you at home. And even with all of my strength and all of my ability and all of my understanding, I lost the battle. My Bible says you have not because you ask not. You know, sometimes we just assume God's going to be there, but we haven't asked him to join us.
Right.
You know? It's like being in a whole group of people and everybody's going out to dinner, but nobody asked one couple. And because they weren't asked, somebody just assumed they were just going to go. You know, we're just assuming God's going to be with us every place we go, but you know what's important? Why don't you ask him?
Amen.
Will you be with me, God? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. And if God is not with us, we need not get into the battle at all. Church, we have got what it takes. I've said this so many times. We have the right doctrine. We've had the right experience. We have the right separation. Romans 8 and 31 says, what shall we then say to these things? What things? Trouble, problems, distress, war, conflict, sickness. What shall I say? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spareth not his own son or flesh, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That's us. It is God that justifieth. You can be accused by other people, but you certainly have a reprieve from God. He's the one who justifies, not somebody else. God does not march with us just because we ordered him to march with us. Now, God, I want you to be with me. I'll tell you what, you can't order God around. You can ask God to do things, but don't tell him what you need to have or what he needs to do. He is the commander in chief. We are not the ones who command God, but God commands us. And sometimes because of familiarity, or sometimes because we've been around the church and around his presence so long that sometimes we order God to do certain things. Now, God, do it now. We don't use this much anymore, but if the Lord wills, we'll do this or we'll do that. We've tried a lot of special outreaches from this church. We've tried to feed the poor. I remember my wife and I getting into the church van years ago, and every Monday we'd go down to Second Harvesters and fill it up with all kinds of food, and then we'd bring the food to the church and put it in our little kitchen that was in our other building, and eventually saints would say, is that all you got? You know, it just doesn't bring people to the church because we fed them. You know, we've had flyers that we've handed out in advertisements, and we brought a newspaper advertisement. We have had a clown or two come in. You know, I'm not talking about evangelists. I'm talking about real clowns, you know. And it flopped. It fell on its face. Accomplished nothing. Just didn't, you know. That's the way the world works. We don't work that way, you know. We just worship our head off and say, God, would you be with us? Come on, we got some battles here, God. We don't know how to come out of the rain. We're just hiding among the stuff. And God, if you'll be with us, then something great will happen. We got no strength. We got no abilities on our own. Hallelujah. And then we just become faithful to the house of God, and suddenly a Sunday, the church fills up, the presence of God took over, and people fell out all over the congregation, like last week's Sunday. People were so rude, he rushed the altar before I had my message done. God, I worked on this message for a long time. I don't need you. I need people to respond in the Spirit. You see, that's what's important. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My little undeveloped brain asked God, why this Sunday and not three Sundays ago? What in this Sunday made it different? And I know you're not a respecter of persons, God, and not a respecter of talents or strength. And God doesn't go on vacation. Elijah said, hey, maybe Baal went on vacation. You ought to check. But our God is never sleeping. He never slumbers. He doesn't leave us or forsake us. But our God is always vigilant. He's always watching over us. He knows every tiny thought, every feeling that we have. He knows it. You don't have to even explain it, but he's with us, you see. But I think I have some insight into why sometimes God refuses to march with us. I think God has shown me. First, I believe based on Scripture, God will not march if we won't march. I've talked to people who have been seeking the Holy Ghost, and they're wondering why God hasn't filled them with the Holy Ghost. Well, have you raised your hands and worshiped God? You see? God, why am I in such a financial dilemma? Well, have you tithed? See, sometimes God won't do anything until he sees us marching. He sees us going forward. He's waiting for us to take the first step, and then he'll take all of the other steps and do the miraculous, but somehow, hallelujah. Peter failed God. But you know what? He found a place of repentance. He wanted God to forgive him. But there was a thief, Judas. Why? He stole from God. That's what he did. And because of that, he couldn't find repentance, and eventually he hung himself. We have to march before God is going to go with us. We have to believe that if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to pray for somebody, I believe that God's going to be with us. But you know what? Sometimes God gives us a little notion that somebody needs to be prayed for, and you stand afar off and say, yeah, God, touch them. No, no. He's asking you to march over them, lay hands on them. Hallelujah. How did we ever get the idea that we can send God on our missions? You know, I'm as guilty of this as a lot of you are. God, save my family. And then we're waiting for them to show up to church. We're waiting for them to say, well, you know what? I just read the Bible. No, no. God wants to save your family, but you better start to march over there and talk to them about the things of God before God is going to save them. We are the body of Christ. Hallelujah. God, help them that help themselves. Or if you don't work, you don't eat. That's what the scriptures say. Mark 16 and 20 says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs that followed. Hallelujah. They went forth. We have a slogan for Wisconsin in our district. It's called forward. Somebody has to move forward. The Lord working with them, not for them. Amen. It's a co-mission, God and us. God will march with us, but not for us. Amen. It's not sick 'em, God, you know. Get 'em. You know they need salvation. Well, what do you think he put us on the face of the earth for? Amen. Hallelujah. No, we fight the battles and God gives us the victory. But we have to fight the battles. Every battle that you see fought in here with Israel, Israel had to go out. Gideon, get yourself a pitcher and a torch and get yourself a trumpet, you know. Well, that just sounds ridiculous. But until they started doing what God said they should do, if they would not have done that, they would never have gotten the victory. I want to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, and when God commands me to do something, I need to do it because I know we're going to get the victory. Back in, I don't know, it was probably the early 80s, I taught a Bible study to a group of young people. They were probably 17, 18, 19, and there was a whole group of them, and it was on the north side of Milwaukee. And, you know, I think they just came out of curiosity. But as a result of the Bible study, every one of them were baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's, you know, if you'll just teach it, that's what's happening in a prison. Probably 1,800 people have been baptized now in our prison because somebody was faithful in order to preach the word of God, you know, from a bunch of old guys. We came out of the prison on Friday night, and you have to put a quarter in to get into your locker. And Brother Showman and Brother Shoddy and myself and Brother Stiles, we're all standing there, and a quarter dropped on the floor, and we're all standing there waiting for somebody to pick up that quarter, you know. I don't bend down for less than $20, you know. It's just We're getting older, but it still works. We've got a little bit of wisdom, you know. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God won't march for us. He won't fight our battles. But if we enter in, even at the Red Sea, when God's people had nowhere to go, they had the mountain on one side, Egypt's armies coming after them. They could see the dust. They could see the chariots. And then they had the Red Sea, and Moses said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Now we hang on that scripture. We got the stand still, you know, but it doesn't end there. It doesn't end with stand still. The Lord then said, he said, "Tell the people to move forward." But God, you don't realize there's a whole ocean right in front of us. The water, don't you see what's there? Moses, you're worried about getting the people forward, and then I'll worry about making a way. And I think that's the problem with the church. We're not moving forward. We're not aggressive enough. And as we become more aggressive to see the work of God done, God will make a way. Hallelujah. I've seen people pray for others to get healed. And as they're praying for others to get healed, they themselves were healed. I've seen people pray for others to get the Holy Ghost, and they themselves got the Holy Ghost. I think God is honoring the effort and moving forward and doing what God wants them to do. Glory to God. So here is the deal. We want revival, but God is not going to go out there and get them to come to church. He is not going to do that because that is not his job. He has assigned that to us. No, you see, we bring them and God does the rest. All we had to do is get Lola into that service. That's all we had to do. Why don't you just stay for the song service? And after a while, she just couldn't resist. The power of God was so strong. If we could just get them to church, folks, move them forward, compel them to come. Hallelujah. If Lola can get saved, anybody can get saved. I've known Lola for a long time. She has a whole restaurant that she's in charge of and named after her. And she's a very successful person, doesn't need money. She's got position, but she needed God. And somebody said, you know what? You need what we have. Glory to God. You say we don't have enough prayer in the church? Well, why don't you get started praying? No one's shouting in my pew. Well, why don't you start shouting in your pew? They just won't worship. Well, grab them by the hand and teach them how to worship. If you will move forward, God will part the waters for us. Don't blame it on somebody else. Well, they're not, you know. Also, I believe when we don't do our best, God won't be with us. He said, I'd rather have you hot or cold, but if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of your mouth. I don't want a lukewarm church. I don't want somebody who comes and they're just satisfied with being a little entertained and the music is good and the preacher is funny and, you know, all of that can get us to the place where it's a source of entertainment and false sense of security that we're all right. Hallelujah. God deserves the best that we have. That's true in singing. That's true in worship. That's true in prayer time. Hallelujah. If you're going to come to prayer, why don't you come for the whole hour? If you're going to come to church, why don't you come to church early? Get ready for God to make a move. Hallelujah. I know I'm stepping on toes, but that's all right. It's an indictment against us if we spend more time manicuring our lawn than working for God. It's an indictment against us if we give our best to our employer, but we don't give the best to God. It's an indictment against us when we show up on time for work, but we don't show up on time for church. And we're wondering, well, where's God? Well, have you moved forward? Have you given him his best? Hallelujah. We can find ourselves leaving home without God because we're not giving everything we have to God. Not long after Israel won a great victory of Jericho, they faced a little city called Ai, and there they suffered defeat. It's the first time in all of the battles that they had that they didn't win. And they're wondering, God, what's the deal here? We should have easily beat these people, easily. Now, I know there was sin in the camp. Achan had taken some forbidden spoils, and he hid them in the tent under the ground. But it says in Joshua 7 that Joshua sent out some people to survey the little city of Ai. They returned and reported that the city was small and said, let not all of the people go up. I mean, really, we don't need all of the people, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 go up and smite Ai. Defeat came to Israel and their forward progress into the promised land because all the people didn't go into the battle. This is going to preach. You're going to wake up in the middle of the night and say, whoa, that was good. Now, I know I harp on worship all the time. Come on, let's worship God. But I recognize the importance of giving God everything we have rather than a lame offering. Hallelujah. Inspect the offering. Ask God, is this my best? If it's not, tell me, and I'll give you more, God. You see? But if just the first four pews worship in this church, then we're going to be defeated. Hallelujah. If just the people who line up on this altar really get a hold of God, but there are somebody in the back who says, well, you know what, maybe one day I'll press up into the forward area, then we're not going to have the victory that we really need to have. Hey, we just beat Jericho, the greatest city in Canaan. We can handle Ai with just a handful of people. No, you can't. You're not going to get the victory with a lame offering. It's not going to work, folks. You're going to have to give everything you have together. There's a reason that the Holy Ghost fell on. When they're all in one mind, all in one accord, that's when it happened. Ai. What, that little city? Wednesday night. Hey, that's not a big deal. Prayer. Well, that's for those who have some tough problems. I'm already established as a fighter. I've been in the church for 40 years. I've heard every sermon. Is this mic on? Get to that place. I don't need revival. I don't need to be there. Glory to God, it's getting quiet. Later, Joshua went back against Ai. Now he was smarter. He was the one who said, everybody needs to get involved. Everybody. Hallelujah. When I worship God, I have my entire body involved in worshiping God. I use my hands. I use my feet. I use my vocal cords. I use my eyes. I move the entire body. And when God really is going to be worshiped by his body, then he needs the entire body worshiping God. Everybody. The Bible says Joshua arose and all of the people of war. He didn't leave anyone at home. And most of all, they didn't leave home. There's a reason why it said in Acts 2 and 1, and they were all with one accord in one place. You see, we all have to be marching together for God to march with us. We must go to the battle with the Ark of the Covenant in the midst of us, because if we don't have the Spirit of God with us, we're going to be disappointed. And then all of a sudden you're going to ask God, well, why did that happen? How come I didn't? Well, maybe you didn't put your best foot forward. Maybe you didn't seek the Lord with all your heart. Hallelujah. The presence of God must be in front. It's got to be behind. It's got to be through us and in us. Ephesians 4 and 5 says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That's what God wants. None of us can risk leaving home without God. I think our mindset is, if we have a really bad problem, I got to go see the doctor this week. I have a court appearance that I have to go do. I've got a problem with this guy at work. I wonder if I'm going to be laid off. When those issues that jeopardize our comfort and our security, when those issues come into place, then we hit the altar. There's no problem at all. But you know what? That should be an everyday occurrence, because we need to have God with us all of the time. Hallelujah. I never know when I'm going to need this card. And so I keep it on me. I don't use it very often. I never know what kind of situation I'm going to be in. And so I always keep this with me. And I know God is going to be with me as a result. We can't walk out of this service and not stay in touch with God all of the time, thinking I've taken care of my obligation for the week. That's religion, folks. That is not the church, where they get this false sense of security. I've come and, you know, I've took communion and now everything's right. Now I'll just go my way, do my thing, and then we'll dial up God again next Sunday. Hallelujah. It's not going to work that way. We need to reach over and touch him on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. Are you there, God? Isn't it a wonderful feeling that you can feel God outside of these services and know that he's with me? And then when the challenges come, and the challenges will always be there, unexpected challenges are going to be there, you'll say, well, I just felt the presence of God. I don't have a problem. You know, this problem is not too big. It's not too small. Because if you leave home without Jesus, if you leave home without our God, if you leave this church without God, you're in trouble. And there is a very good possibility that you think, I've got enough of God now, I can... This is not a filling station, folks. It's not a place where, okay, we fill up, and then I'll see you again when I'm empty. Glory to God. One last scripture as our musicians come. If you'll turn to Luke, the second chapter. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the Passover. And verse 41, they're on their way back. And it says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned. So they went to church, they had church, they're on their way back. The child, Jesus, tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. 3 days without Jesus, and they didn't even know. Folks, I don't want to go from Sunday to Wednesday and not know that Jesus is with me. Oh, I've talked to a bunch of saints, acquaintances, and kinsfolks. But was Jesus with me? How in the world can you walk 3 days without knowing that Jesus is missing? I want to know, God, that you're going to be with me every step of the way. Because if you don't go with me, I'm not going, folks. Hallelujah. You got to have him. You can't leave without him. Amen. You can't do battle without him. Amen. Hallelujah. You can't face the things that you need to face without our God. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? You know, I just don't want to fill up some time on a Sunday morning and say a few words and then we all go back to what we normally do. I hope somebody in here purposes in their heart that I'm going to give God the best that I possibly can. I'm going to take some steps forward. Jesus, don't worry, I can handle this one. I don't even need to consult with you. It's just AI. We can take care of it. I was so impressed with Brother Rosecki yesterday. He said over and over, thank God that the church is praying for me. I don't even know if I can pray for myself. That's when you need everybody to walk forward and say, we're going to take care of this thing. It's not just a couple of people. We need the whole church backing this whole thing. Hallelujah. If we're going to have a revival, it's not just going to be a handful of people in here that bring the revival. It's going to be the whole church that wants to have revival. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know what it's going to take for everybody to get on board, for everybody to see the seriousness and the time and the hour that we are now in. But our God could come any moment. And there's some people that need to get saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. If you need something from God this morning, I know how you can get it. This altar is open.